Hello, and welcome back to another episode of What Do Scientists Do? This is a podcast for curious kids and inquisitive adults. In this episode, we're talking ocean acoustics. I interviewed Emmanuel Cook, a PhD student at Dalhousie University studying physical oceanography. Specifically, she's studying ocean acoustics in the Arctic. So we're going to be talking about how sound travels underwater. We're going to talk about what ice sounds like when it cracks underwater. And we're going to talk about why she's driving skidoos across ice. So keep on listening to find out more. Hello, and welcome to What Do Scientists Do? This is a show where we talk to a different wickedly smart guest every episode and learn all about what they do and what science has to do with it. And today we're going to be talking about ocean acoustics. So no, we're not talking about playing a guitar underwater, but we're actually talking about listening to sounds and noises underwater and what we can learn by just listening. So we're going to put our listening skills to the test today. So acoustics, and our guest is going to tell us more about this, but acoustics is the study of sounds, and sounds are these like ripply waves of energy created by vibrations, and they can travel through all different types of things. So specifically, we're going to be talking about sounds underwater and what we can learn from listening to the ocean and water and what that has to do with ice and maybe snowmobiles. So here to tell us more is our very special guest. So do you want to introduce yourself with your name and pronouns?
Yeah, my name is Emmanuel Cook, and my pronouns are she, her.
Awesome. And what kind of scientist are you?
I guess I would be called an oceanographer, and I study sound in the ocean.
So where specifically in the ocean do you study sound?
So most of my research is done in the Arctic, specifically in the Canadian Arctic Archipelago, just northern oceans covered by sea ice.
So what kind of questions are you trying to answer with your research?
We're trying to look at ambient sound underwater and how it's affected by sea ice. So we're looking at what are ambient sound levels in sea ice, and how are they changing with seasons and sea ice cover type?
So is ambient sound just kind of like the noise of the ocean underwater?
Yeah, so ambient sound is the background levels that exist naturally in the water if there's no mechanical or human-made sounds.
So is ice super noisy then? Does it like sing? Does it talk? What does ice sound like?
So sea ice has a lot of interesting effects on underwater sound. So it will create sounds. So yes, sometimes it does sing. It will sound like seals when it's rubbing, when ice flows are rubbing against each other. It will crack. Sometimes it will make sounds while snow particles are flowing on the surface of the ice with the wind. But it'll also change how sound travels underwater. So as ice freezes and melts, it changes the physical properties of the ocean water, which then changes how sound propagates through the ocean.
So what do you mean when you say propagates through the ocean? I mean, I've heard of propagating. I propagate my plants at home all the time. But how does like sound propagate in the water?
So propagation of sound is how sound travels between a listener and a sound source.
So you mentioned that sometimes ice can sound like seals when ice is like rubbing against each other. How can you tell the difference between ice and seals? Is it just like you've had enough practice listening to seals, or like how do you do that?
So yeah, so when the ice rubs, it'll make kind of a whistling sound, or it can make a whistling sound, and ringed seals specifically will make this similar whistling sound. And to understand the difference between the two, you can listen to it if you're really good, if you have an understanding of the two different sounds, you could detect the difference. But you could also try and pick the differences away looking at the frequency of the sound. So you can turn sound into an image where you can have the loudness of the sound separated by frequency, which is the pitch of the sound. And that information can help you distinguish visually what is ice sound and what is rings, seals, if you know a little bit about the characteristics of the two.
Cool. So we can take data and information that we hear and we can turn that into visual information. And is that very important for a scientist like you?
Yeah, that's a really important tool to understanding the underwater sound and maybe dividing the different source mechanisms of the sound, as well as the properties of the frequency content. So we can't specifically, we as humans can't hear all the frequencies that maybe other marine mammals might be affected by or other underwater species.
And so I like to talk about data and math on this podcast because I know a lot of kids are maybe scared of data and math. I know I was. So it sounds like you work with a lot of different data and maybe working on visualizing it in graphs. But what kind of technology do you use to collect this data?
Yeah, so the measurement tool is called a hydrophone. And it's basically your normal microphone, but made to be waterproof so it can go underwater.
And do you have to go out like a microphone tech in like a movie set and like stick a microphone underwater? How do you collect this data?
Yeah, that's funny because it's funny because there's a lot of different ways you can have underwater observatories. So we can put hydrophones on these moorings that can be anchored to the bottom of the water. And then they just sit there for a certain amount of time and record. And then we can come back and pick them up and then listen to the data. There's also real-time observatories. So there are instances, and I use one of these observatories where a hydrophone is in, so the hydrophone's in the Northwest Passage right now. And it records for 1 minute every 2 hours, and it sends data via satellite to a server that I have access to, and we can look at the data that way. And in one experiment, I actually went to Northern Labrador, and we went on the sea ice and put hydrophones in the water from the sea ice. So kind of like you were saying, you know, we walk up on the ice, we make a hole, and then we put the hydrophone in and we collect a certain amount, a couple of hours of data.
So why do you want to learn so much about sea ice or Arctic ice? Why is this important?
Well, so sea ice has a big effect on underwater sound. And with climate change, there's a lot of concerns that there's going to be a change in sea ice, which is going to affect the underwater soundscape. So we don't fully understand how sea ice affects the underwater environment. So it's really important to collect measurements now and improve our understanding before there are major changes to the sea ice conditions.
And what kind of major changes are coming to the sea ice conditions?
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to answer that on a podcast. That's a tough question. yes. So shipping is a major concern for the melting ice. So there's going to be a lot more accessibility for ships to travel through the Northwest Passage. And ships add a lot of noise. So there's going to be a change in the way we access the ocean, the Arctic Ocean, with a change in sea ice cover. Now, I brought up shipping, but that also means that there's going to be a change in snowmobile traffic on the sea ice. So the way communities in Northern Labrador can travel, well, one of the ways that people can travel between communities in Northern Labrador is by skidoo travel. So, and that adds sound underwater through the sea ice.
So when I was reading a little bit about what you're doing, I was reading about the snowmobile sounds on the ice and stuff. So are you Do you want to explain what you're doing and how you're kind of collecting information about what snowmobiles sound like?
What we're doing is we're measuring the underwater sound of skidoos by doing a series of experiments in different sea ice conditions. So we went in February and we went in April, and then we're also looking at different speeds of skidoos. So what people would consider a slow speed driving, a medium speed, and then like what would be fast on a skidoo on sea ice, depending on the conditions. And so we'll put a hydrophone in the water from the sea ice, and we'll have skidoos drive by the hydrophone at those different speeds at those different times of year. And we're going to look at how the sound of a skidoo changes with sea ice and skidoo speed to understand, okay, well, how much sound is it adding to the underwater environment? And then get in somewhat of an idea of how that sound changes with speed and ice conditions.
Wicked cool. So if we think of this in the framework of like a scientific question, it would be like, what do skidoos sound like? Or skidoos like underwater. And then the different things that you're controlling are the skidoos driving over the ice. That sounds like a pretty fun job.
It's really fun. Yeah.
Have you driven one?
I have, not for the experiment, because when we started, I had never driven or been near a skidoo. But with the experiment, I've gotten a chance to drive to the different sites, which was really fun. New hobby unlocked.
Another kind of like trickier question that I like to ask is like, if you had to summarize what you do or what you want everyone to know on one billboard that you could put like across the world, what would you put on your billboard?
The underwater environment. So underwater sound travels about 5 times faster underwater. And the absorption of sound is different too. So sound can travel really far underwater. And many marine species use sound to see, communicate a lot more than, or to see, and sorry, a lot of animals use sound underwater to see and communicate. So I encourage people to have an awareness, just like we try and control sounds or a contribution of sound in air. You know, we enjoy quiet, pristine environments, to think about, okay, well, underwater, how are we affecting marine species when we're traveling on the water, and how that can affect their home?
So I know that shipping traffic in the Arctic in the last 20 years has tripled. So that means that there's more and more ships going through the Arctic. And this just kind of illuminates how important it is for us to get a lot of information and data about what's going on in the Arctic, and I guess what ambient noise is like in the Arctic and in the ocean. So if we're thinking about an iceberg, the tip of the iceberg that I always think about is like sea ice melting. But then if we go a little bit deeper on that bottom of the iceberg, there's also like what sounds are going on and how our sound's going to change. So I think this is just a really cool thing that I hadn't thought about before. So just my own spitballing here.
No, it's great to like spitball and communicate, because it's just, I agree. It's so cool.
So you've been up to Northern Labrador, which not a lot of people get the chance to go there. What's like your favorite science or industry thing that you've done? It doesn't necessarily have to be about this project, but just like in your scientific career, is there anything that like stands out?
Okay, so my favorite scientific experience was doing the field work for the Skidoo project. I learned a lot of things through that experiment. There was a really interesting, I think it comes together in a really interesting moment, where I was on the sea ice and we were running the Skidoo experiment. So we're all standing on the ice near this ice hole where the hydrophone is. And a Skidoo, we just did our last run of a snowmobile driving by the ice hole. And when the Skidoo stopped, we saw another Skidoo coming towards the Hopedale community at a distance. So we paused the experiment and we watched the Skidoo drive by our site as it went towards Hopedale. And later on, looking at the data, because we were as quiet as we could be, but looking at the data, what we heard was some sort of, it sounded a little bit like a frog, like a croaking frog. And what we think is that a fish might have made a sound by the hydrophone while we were being really quiet to let that Skidoo go by. So that I wasn't expecting something like that on the hydrophone. So an unexpected measurement and an extra curious question of like, what do fish sound like, came up. And I just think it's so fun to those moments where you uncover new mysteries.
And that is one of the most fun parts about science, is uncovering a new mystery. Kind of, you were talking about how you helped kind of design this process and this project. And how does creativity fit into that? Does it fit into that? Do you have to do creative work in your day to day?
That is something I am trying to answer and learning a lot about as I go through this Skidoo project. And I think creativity is super important. It's really important in designing questions, but it's really important, in my opinion, to the way you present the information. I think in science, we're really focused on creating scientific questions, the methods, the results, and then writing papers. But there's a lot more to that in communicating science. I mean, this podcast, for instance, is a really great way to communicate science. Part of the Skidoo project, we're trying to communicate, work with people in the communities where we're running the experiment, but also communicate what we're doing as we're doing it. So we've made videos. So we've made a video of a Skidoo driving, or Skidoos driving in the harbor as we recorded sound underwater. And we shared videos. We had a on the land event. So what we did is we put a hydrophone in the water, and then there people could take turns listening to the sounds, and then as other people danced on the ice or hit the ice. So sound can be really fun and creative, or research can be fun and creative.
A humongous thank you to Emmanuel Cook for being on our show today. And as always, a huge thank you to everybody listening. If you're at home, on the bus, in the car, walking, making dinner, eating craft dinner, all of the above. For more science fun, you can find us on Instagram or X at supernova@dal. Do you have a question that you'd like answered? Just send us an email or voice recording at whatdoscientistsdo@superstaff.ca. We might just answer your question on the show. Thank you so much for listening, and I will see you next episode. Bye for now. This show is made by Supernova at Dalhousie University, a network member of ACTUA. For more information on our summer camps, workshops, and more, visit supernova.dal.ca.